We will make America great again.
RPN is not responsible for the views, actions, statements, or opinions of its guests, advertisers, or even its viewers. The information contained in this program is not to be confused with medical or legal advice. An appearance on this platform is not necessarily an endorsement, but as always, we encourage you to do your own research. Enjoy the show. Uh-oh, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. That's the wrong thumbnail. Let me get the right one up there. There we go. That's right. Welcome back, my friends. I have returned. As always, my name is Zach Payne, the Corruption Detector, and you're listening or watching another episode of Red Pill News Live, unless you're listening or watching to this later, and then in which case it's not live. But either way, I am back, and I hope that you enjoy the show. Thank you so much, everybody, for being here with us. My internet has been down for 2.5 days. I came back ready to work, and unfortunately, God had other plans, or maybe it was AT&T, or maybe it was the Deep State Construction Company that ripped through the fiber line. I don't know. I'll tell you all about it in just a moment, but thank you. God, what a week for me to be without the internet, I'm telling you. I've got 3 days worth of news to go over, and probably 90% of it is related to these ridiculous cases against Donald Trump, but fear not. Donald Trump will prevail. America will survive. The American people support him. And my goodness, the deep state's going down. So do me a favor. If you are here for the first time, please hit that like button. Help us out by sharing the show. If you're a longtime viewer, help us out by hitting that like button and sharing the show. And remember, I am live Monday through Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern, unless some unforeseen circumstances happen. But tomorrow, I'm also doing another special 5 p.m. show to make up a little bit of time. Tomorrow, right here, another special episode of Red Pill News Live. So sit back, relax, and grab your popcorn. We're going to be right back in just a moment after this. So recently, I've told you guys about a breakthrough new anti-aging remedy that I've been using that keeps me energized all day long. I just take a teaspoonful of C60 Evo olive oil in the morning, and I notice better mental focus, flexibility, and physical endurance. Now, it's rare to feel improvements this quickly. I also end up sleeping deeper at night, so it's really helpful. Their peptide and ESS60 hair and lotion renewal formulas are exceptional because they really work. And C60 Evo's lab has been manufacturing this Nobel Prize-winning miracle molecule for 32 years in their Houston, Texas, Patriot-owned lab. ESS60 is the upgraded version of the Carbon-60 molecule. It's specifically made for both people and pets. It's a potent and effective way for people's lives to be improved all around the world. So maximize your health and enjoy noticeable results with C60 Evo organic edible oils, skin serums, and pet products. You can buy with confidence from C60 Evo, and you can use my personal code for a discount at checkout. Simply go to c60evo.com/redpill78. And then when you're there, use code redpill78 for an additional 10% off your entire order. Once again, that's c60evo.com/redpill78. And when you support my sponsors, you support this channel. All right, my friends, thank you so much for joining us. And big shout out to a special viewer out here in the chat. Actually, a couple of them already. I need to say thank you. God is good. Listen to this. Anarchist Owl, who previously thought that he was in a situation that was completely out of his control and he was never going to be able to fix it. Looks like God took care of him. RP78, my car is getting a new engine. It was 1.5 years out of warranty. Thank you for the prayers. I don't have to pay a dime, he says. And they loaned me a 2023 car, and they're going to cover the gas. Also, there's whispers of a job. My friend, I am so excited for you. That is amazing. See, everything comes through in the end. This is one of those times where you just have to remember that when you let go, you let God. Throw a little bit of prayer at it, a little bit of love, a little bit of friendship. Obviously, people are going to help you out. Man, I am so happy to hear that. And then also Sean B, who says, welcome back. I was so bored. And then, of course, our friends over there at Pill.net, CyberXSpeed says, countdown song info. I actually don't know where that song is from. I searched for a countdown that was free on YouTube, and I was able to find it. It's part of some package of free, I guess, you know, number one Indiana dad. You're my boy, Blue. Thank you very much, brother. I appreciate that. It was part of a package of free streaming elements. I'll see if I can identify the song. I can use my phone and it'll probably tell me if it has a name. Dixie, thank you for the can. Water Wizard, thank you for the can. And Judy the Lady Pug, thank you for the cookie. Thank you everyone for being here. You guys, it's been a heck of a ride last couple of days. First of all, as you may know, or maybe you don't because you've been gone for a couple of weeks, but last week I was in the in Dallas at the Great American Restoration Tour. We had a great time. I came in a day early so that I could, you know, get some sleep the night before. And then on Thursday, we had some downtime and the ability to hang out with some of the other speakers. That was great. I did not play golf because John wanted to go at 9 a.m. and I didn't get into the hotel room until like 2. So I wanted to sleep, to be perfectly honest with you. So I didn't golf. So, you know, sorry if anybody is upset. But I saw Kitsko on Monday and she actually gave me a golf bag filled to the brim with golf clubs. So now I have no excuse not to learn how to golf. The golf bag is falling apart, but that's fine. I'll just get another one and I'll tell you guys how it works. I don't know much about golf, so maybe I'll send some pictures to you guys out there in the real world and you can tell me if you know anything about them. Maybe tell me which ones I'm supposed to use for what shot, putting, driving. That's about all I know. And then over the weekend had a great time with meeting people at GART, people who have been watching the channel since I was on YouTube, people who were really excited to meet me. And I got to be honest with you guys, I was just as excited to meet all of them as well. It's like one of my favorite things in the world to actually do in-person events and to be able to connect with people. Let me see. What else happened? Oh, yes. On Sunday, I came home from Dallas. Nearly missed my flight again because my connecting flight was going to leave before my initial flight actually arrived. But they were – so both of them were delayed just a little bit, long enough for me to run through the Atlanta airport and then make it onto the plane. I was the last person on before they shut those doors. So then I came home. Lisa picked me up. We went home together and slept in our beautiful bed with the dogs. They were so excited to see me. Smokey the cat was also very excited to see me. And then on Monday, super early, I got up and drove to Rotunda, West Florida, the Cape Hayes Tavern, because we did that in-person stream event for Time of Deceit, which is the film by Adam Riva that was made for Badlands Media. Even if you don't like Badlands Media or you don't watch, this is a great film. It's free, and it has nothing to do with Badlands. It's specifically designed for you to give to your normie friends and family so that they can start to see what we've been talking about for years. And that is the orchestrated plot to destroy Donald Trump and in the process destroy America and us, my friend. So please, I encourage you to go ahead and check it out no matter what your thoughts are on anybody else besides me, because I really think you're going to enjoy it. It's a powerful film. Adam Riva is a very, very talented filmmaker, and I've got nothing but love for him. So anyways, I come back that night. I get home around 2 a.m. I wake up in the morning and I wake up at 9. I get ready and about 11 o'clock, I'm starting to get the show ready for 5. And then all of a sudden I lose internet and I get a notification from AT&T. It says we've discovered a service disruption in your area. And I go on their website and I look and it's literally my block. Only my block. We are the only place in the entire city that had our internet go down. And so I go up around the street, I walk the dogs, and sure enough, one of the last lots that have not been developed in the neighborhood was just being torn up, and they were ripping out all the trees and all the vegetation, and they tore right through the fiber line. In fact, they tore through it in multiple places. So that's why it took AT&T a couple of days to figure it out, because first of all, on Tuesday, they gave me like 4 different times, like, oh, it'll be fixed by 1, oh, it'll be fixed by 4, oh, it'll be fixed by 8, oh, it'll be fixed by tomorrow. And then the next day, yesterday, they did the same thing. It was like they just kept pushing that that goalpost. So then yesterday they were like, don't, no problem. I actually went up and talked to them and they said, we are definitely going to have this thing fixed like in a couple of hours. They said by 6 you should be fine. And then of course 8 o'clock rolls around, it starts to get dark and it's still not working. So I just like stopped trying. And then this morning I get another text from AT&T. They said it'll be fixed by 10. It'll be fixed by 12. It'll be fixed by 1. Well, then at 1 o'clock they texted and said, hey, we fixed your internet, but your internet still doesn't work. Everybody else's internet worked except for mine. So then I had to call AT&T. You know how it is. They make you go through all the troubleshooting steps, even though you've already done it. You got to unplug it. You got to plug it back in. You got to wait for the lights. They have to send a signal. And I had to do that like 5 different times with 5 different people. Finally, I get somebody to schedule a technician to come out. And I think there's no way I'm going to be able to go live today, because they weren't even supposed to be here until the earliest at 4 o'clock. Well, within 3 to 5 minutes, I get a call from the guy. And he's like, hey, Zach, listen, I'm right up the street. Are you home? And I was like, absolutely. And it was like 3:15. So he's like, I'm on my way. So he comes over and he tests it. And he was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't work. And so he's like, well, it says the problem is 4,000 feet away. I guess they can tell exactly where the problem is with their little readers. And so he goes up to where they had fixed it, and they had fixed it in multiple places. However, when they plugged my line in, only my line, they plugged it in incorrectly, so the signal wasn't coming through. So he was able to fix it. He comes back, and I had a little bit of time to get the show on the air, start to put some stories together, and obviously we're here right now. So thank you very much, everybody, for your patience. I sincerely appreciate it. It's been a frustrating couple of days. Many people were like, oh, enjoy your time off. Well, you know, I mean, that's not something that's easy for me to do. I'm a bit of a workaholic, and obviously the whole time I'm waiting for the internet to come back on, and like, you know, remember, like, nothing works. Lisa's phone doesn't work, our tablets don't work, the TVs don't, nothing works. Absolutely nothing works. So we got a lot of reading done, we hung out with each other, I laid outside, I am even tanner than I normally am, but I guess you can't tell because of the lights. That was probably the number one comment that I got from people over the weekend, that, wow, you're really dark in real life, darker than you look on screen. So if that tells you anything, guys, yeah, that's it. All right, appreciate y'all being here. Thank you to Sean Joe as well for dropping those shades. Listen, guys, people probably don't know that I'm live because I was only able to get the stream, like, actually created, like, right before I went online. Rumble's having problems, too. Apparently, they've been subpoenaed by the U.S. House of Representatives. The Judiciary Committee is subpoenaing Rumble in their investigation of efforts to censor online speech. Now, what's really interesting is Rumble is clearly not one of those platforms that is censoring online speech. They have been there as an alternative for creators like myself who have been censored on these other mainstream media platforms. So I expect to see Chris Pavlovsky and Rumble actually come in and testify specifically to their methods so that they can be compared to what the other platforms like ScrewTube are doing to people who are simply speaking the truth. Thank you to Scott. He says, we missed you, bro. I missed you too, man. Thank you so much. And Blue Demon 75 dropped in as a monthly supporter. I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. All right, well, enough yapping. I've told you guys enough about our personal lives. Let's talk about the state of the country. So you may or may not have tuned in to Brad and I having a conversation last night on Altered State. And of course, look at that. Everything doesn't work. Let me just get the news pulled up on screen, and we'll get the chats on screen as well. So primarily, Brad and I were discussing, you know, a number of things related to the state of the nation. And one of those topics was the topic of these protests that we are seeing inorganically spring up all around the country, springing up on college campuses. Now, what's interesting is obviously it's an election year. Does that surprise anyone here? It's an election year, and yet again, we're about to have another summer of love and another summer of mostly peaceful protests. Well, the thing that's different this time, guys, is that although the peaceful protests, which took place in the summer of love in 2020, those were mostly directed at the anger people felt in the left at police and at President Trump and at the MAGA movement. Well, now all of that anger is being directed in a very different direction. This is all about October 7th. This is all about the presence of Israel in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. They're demanding, I guess, that college campuses, that I guess like Cornell and New York University, they want these colleges to come out and speak out against Israel. Well, you know, I know that's not going to happen, right? You know, that's not going to happen. There are plenty of people who are saying, you know, hey, you know, Israel bad, you know, Hamas good, and we need to free the Palestinian people. But it's mostly this ultra radical fringe left, the same group of people that burnt the country down in 2020. And there is also a very, very different response to it. Now, those protests in 2020, they were plenty violent. There was plenty of damage and destruction that was done. What's very different now is that these protesters are openly calling for the destruction of the state of Israel. They are also openly engaging in violence against people, and they're creating this culture of violence across the country. And whereas our Congress and our government seemed totally unwilling to protect the American people during the summer of so-called love back in 2020, they're already talking about deploying the National Guard to college campuses all around the country. They can't protect our border, or perhaps they don't have the will to protect our border. And yet they are considering sending the National Guard to protect a small group of students who go to these various colleges. It's literally, they're talking about sending the National Guard out to protect Jewish students that are at these colleges and these universities. Now, you know me, I'm against violence. I'm absolutely against the unmitigated and unnecessary use of force to force your point of view onto anyone or to force your ideology onto anyone. I am, however, extremely uncomfortable with the National Guard being put on college campuses around the nation to protect a single group of people. What about the idea of protecting America? What about the idea of keeping the safety and security of the American people at the top of the list, regardless of their religion, regardless of their ethnicity? This makes it appear to me that our members of Congress that are calling for National Guard troops to be deployed to our college campuses all around the country simply don't care about anything but the state of Israel, in the same way that they seem to not care about anything other than continuing to carpet bomb the country of Ukraine. Over the weekend, also, our Congress was successfully able to pass another $95 billion aid package, sending roughly $60 more billion to Israel, to Ukraine, another $15 or so billion to Israel, and, you know, tens of billions of more dollars to a variety of other noble causes, which mostly include the death and destruction that the Western world has been sowing across various places all around our little ball of dirt that's hanging in the sky, or maybe is simply just a flat plane. I don't know. We're not going to get into that, but I just have to throw it in there because I don't want anybody to think that I'm going too hard on them. But here we have these protests, these pro-Hamas protests. And, of course, there's also going to be a mixture of other people. There's maybe going to be just anti-war protesters in there. But largely, the violence is being caused by pro-Hamas protesters. Now, as I said, this is not an organic situation, and we're going to show proof of that here in just a moment. But all over the weekend, we've had these violent protests that have been erupting since last Wednesday. Columbia University was forced to shut down and go online only because of these pro-Palestinian riots that were happening in college campuses all around the country. TZ Burton says, welcome back, Zach. The deep state CIA meant to disconnect Hillary's bathroom server, but got you instead. Darn Russian collusion. Yes, thank you so much, TZ. I appreciate you. So, with chaos erupting not only at Columbia, also at the University of Southern California, there have been a number of these pro-Hamas encampments that have been set up. Now, if you go camping, anybody else here a camper? I love to go camping, okay? And I know that my tent is unique to me. When I go to a campground, or if I set up a tent anywhere, the chances are pretty slim that I'm going to see the exact same tent set up next to me. I'm not going to get confused about where my campsite is. However, these encampments have been popping up, and lo and behold, everybody's got the same freaking tent. What, did everybody go to Target on the same day? Did everybody went to Moose Jaw and they agreed to get the same tent so that they could all know who they were supposed to be hanging out with? No, I don't think so. I think that an NGO is providing the materials necessary to allow these pro-Hamas protesters to set up maintain a presence as long as they need to. I mean, you know, the election's only around the corner. At some point, it may become necessary for them to vector off of the Israeli-Hamas conflict and say, I don't know, onto the election of the United States of America. Well, in this particular incident, we've got some video of these protests turning violent. There was videos that were all over the weekend of students that are, well, I mean, I'm assuming they're students. Most of them have their faces covered. They look like young people. They've got signs. They're chanting, you know, F-12 and Death to America at times. It was pretty insane. Jim Kyle says, Zach, I grew up when they were rioting in the late 60s. Nothing peaceful about that situation. No, nothing peaceful. Then this is the thing. This is the great irony of it. And that's why I love calling it the Summer of Love and saying mostly peaceful protests, because everybody knows it's a psyop. Everybody knows that it's not real. They know that when they hear those words, oh, mostly peaceful, well, that must mean violence. Oh, Summer of Love. Oh, yeah, I can see that. It's businesses and homes on fire. It's black American business owners having their lives ruined by these Antifa fascist left-wing protesters who are simply there to cause havoc. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate you, buddy. So let's take a look. This is at USC. Oh, yes. What are they doing? Look at these morons. We're stopping war. Silence is violence, which is why they're protesting silently. You guys ever do this when you're protesting? No, I didn't think so. These people look like idiots. Look at this. And they're all wearing masks, not because they're worried about getting sick, but because they're worried about getting their pictures taken. Probably because they flew in from a far-flung place somewhere else in America. These are most likely not students of this university. Mm. All right, so continuing, let's take a look. Let's take a look. Here is a chaotic scene at USC shortly after that video was taken. Look at these people. The goal. Hit him in the face with your baton. Break his jaw. That's what I want to see. No respect. Absolutely no respect. These people, I don't think they should have the right to be out there in the way that they do, because they don't love America. If they had their way, they would quite literally do away with the Bill of Rights, do away with the Constitution. They would put all of us into re-education camps, okay? They are openly calling for the deaths and the wholesale slaughter of certain groups of people. It's not good on either side. We should not be out there slaughtering Palestinians. We should not be out there slaughtering Jews. You should have the emotional intelligence to be able to come together and to understand when your efforts are going to have some measurable impact, okay? You should also be able to talk to people. But we've been so polarized by the mainstream media, by the intelligence agencies, by every single PSYOP that you see coming at you every single day. Here they are at USC squaring off with campus police. And just, you know, one of the reasons I want to show you this is because I want you to see, like, the drastic difference. Like, even though the police finally started pushing back, okay, after all this, this is so different from what happened on January 6th. They could not wait to crack skulls on January 6th. They went the whole Summer of Love without doing a damn thing. Kyle Rittenhouse, his life was in danger He was completely justified in shooting those yahoos and blowing that dude's bicep off. 100% justified. That's why he's not guilty. That's why they couldn't put him in prison. That's despite all their lies, despite their own operations that were being done to try to impugn Kyle in the face and the eyes of the jury, despite their every effort to convict Kyle in the court of public opinion, he was able to go away. He was able to walk off and live his life. He's going to be damaged. I mean, you can't just shoot a couple of people point blank range and just go on with your life as if nothing happened. I mean, Kyle's going to live with that. All right. But they were so eager. They didn't do a damn thing all summer 2020. Nothing. They allowed things to be burned. They allowed people's lives and businesses to be ruined. And now, well, I think they're getting a little tired of it. But still, they are still not responding like they did on January 6th. They blatantly started it on January 6th. Take them down. Did you see that girl? Look at my Palestinian baby. Look at my Palestinian baby. No worries. No worries about her own babies. No. If it's an American baby, just pull it out and kill it. It's no big deal. Stop resisting. Look at these animals. Man. Man, these people, okay, here we go. Now the batons come out. wanna get a look at my nightstick? Back the F up. And listen to the trope, okay? They want to present themselves as victims. Oh, the police, they were hurting students. But like I said, you probably got many, many people who flew across the country, professional agitators. They are there to do one thing and one thing only, and that is to cause havoc, to integrate among students and to rile things up, to get it heated so that they can use this as the latest operation against police to make police look bad. Oh, we were doing nothing. No, you were resisting. You were tugging on the police. You were trying to get them to hurt you. And, well, you got your wish. Also want to say these are black cops, cops of color. Showing tremendous restraint, tremendous restraint. So you see, University of Southern California, they had to shut down everything. Now take a look at this. It's starting to get bad in New York as well. This Muppet. Oh, man. Now this one is actually a student. She's a student at, I think she says Cornell or Columbia. But anyways, somebody's interviewing her. They want to know, oh, well, what are you protesting? And she's such a moron, she doesn't even know why she's there. She's there because somebody called her saying, we gotta support Palestine. Come on, let's go downtown. So this video is going viral. She is a student protester. She's at New York University, but again, she's not an actual student there. Vector, thank you for joining as a monthly subscriber. So, as is so typical of the modern left, they don't even know what they're fighting for. They only know that they're told to protest, and so they show up just to be a good friend, just to get some valid victory points and maybe increase their social credit score, their DEI score. And she can't even tell you why she's joining this pro-Palestinian protest. So let's go ahead and check out the video here because it's pretty illuminating.
And what would you say is the main goal with tonight's protest?
I think the goal is just showing our support for Palestine and demanding that NYU stop. I honestly don't know all of what NYU's doing.
Is there something that NYU's doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Do you know what NYU's doing? About Israel. Why are we protesting here?
I wish I was more educated.
I'm not either. Oh. I came from Columbia. I was there up at Columbia, and we came down. They said NYU students needed our support. So I came down. I heard there's lots of cops. Some people were saying it was getting dangerous.
I wish I was more educated. Oh, man. I think everybody wishes you were more educated. Everybody wishes the modern-day college illiterati were more educated. Unfortunately, they're not getting educations today. They're getting indoctrinations. They're being told to protest. Oh, it's the latest thing. Palestine's good. Israel's evil. We got to get out there and show our support. They have no idea why they're there. And this is being used as a trope by our Congress to place National Guard troops on college campuses. We got to protect Israel. Oh, Israel's our number one ally. I'm not saying they're not. All I'm saying is, what about protecting America? What happened to protecting the United States of America and the citizens of this country? Why are we putting other nations first? Why are we funding wars in foreign lands? Why are we paying the pensions of the people who work in the government for the country of Ukraine? Why is that? Why is that? I'll tell you why. Because a lot of that money's going straight back into those people's pockets. And the mask is off. Now the American people see what they're doing. This isn't new. My God, it's, you know, my outrage is not new, shiny, and slick and brand new. This, I've been pissed off about this for a long time. But the rest of the country may not be aware that this is business as usual. This is what Congress does. This is the uniparty. This is what they've been doing for years. We have been sucking money out of your pocket for decades, my friends. Money has been going to these other nations, to foreign wars, and then it just somehow ends back in the pockets of the people we elect. Oh, LKW Cross, thank you so much. I really do appreciate it. Thank you for that. Yes, these people have been stealing your money for the longest time. And it's just a lot more obvious today. It's a lot more obvious. We've got a crisis here at home. We've got a crisis at the southern border. The crisis is in all 50 states all around the country. Here's another story I don't actually have pulled up. I just know about it. So apparently Joe Biden, Rather than declaring a crisis because of the border and the tens of millions of illegals that have come across, the ones that we've spoken with and the ones that have just slipped through and now are in the system somewhere, Joe Biden wants to declare a climate emergency and to give himself God Emperor status, the same types of powers that Donald Trump was given during the plandemic. Now, during the plandemic, it was a very different scenario, right? Nobody knew what was happening. The governors were like, you know what? We're taking Fauci's word for it. He's an expert. Why would he lie to us? He's Dr. Anthony Fauci. He's practically a saint. So we're going to listen to Anthony Fauci. We're going to shut the country down. Well, you know, pretty soon it became obvious that, well, this is not what they're telling us. And, you know, states started to open up. Things got a little bit easier. The governor said, we're taking back some of that power. And then Donald Trump, you know, eventually it was over and done with. The American people woke up. But now Joe Biden wants to create a special cutout for himself. You know, it's not bad enough that he's shutting down mining roads. It's not bad enough that he is stopping production of natural gas, oil, and coal in various places around the nation that depend on it to pay the people who live there. It's not bad enough that he's forcing people to go to electric vehicles when the electrical grid is totally worthless. Okay. But Joe Biden wants to give himself God Emperor status. Okay. And here we are. The American people, you know, fully aware. I mean, people looking around, climate emergency, what are you talking about? Okay, you know, it's China that's burning all that coal and putting all that, you know, so-called CO2 out into the atmosphere that's releasing carbon, even though we're carbon-based life forms, even though greenhouse gases are going to make it better for plants and then they're going to produce more oxygen. Plants are going to clean the air for us. They never tell you that. The one thing that plants don't clean, however, is pollution. And it doesn't matter if we're still burning coal or natural gas or diesel fuel to create the electricity that runs our electric vehicles. We're still creating pollution, okay? It's not just about greenhouse gases, even though they want you to focus on that. They're producing all kinds of toxins and chemicals and nasty things that they're dumping into the oceans and pouring into the ground and forcing us to eat. That's the danger right there. That's the danger. It's not about climate change, man-made climate change. It's truly about the poisoning of the earth and the poisoning of God's people. Thank you so much to Frey and the boys. He says, I missed you, Zach. I must have a healthy addiction to your show. I missed everyone in the chat. Freya, I missed you too, brother. And definitely appreciate you being here. And thank you to Warrior Mima for also joining as a monthly supporter over there on Rumble. Thank you so much also to Sean Joe for dropping a pair of shades and Judy the Lady Pug for dropping another cookie. Who cares? Always a pleasure to see you, my friend. He says, high five, Zach. And to make up for missing the days, oh, yeah, Lisa, thank you very much. Rise Attire, my brother from another mother. He says, what's up, bro? I saw you with my homie, Adam Riva. He's my neighbor. I did not know he was your neighbor. That's so cool. I realized it when I saw his addy on a rise order. That's great. Adam is a wonderful guy. And he asked me about you, because he knew we were friends. I said, Adrian, he's one of the real ones. Okay. I said, whatever you guys are planning, you got to let me know about it because I want a piece. He is seriously talented as Adam is with film. Of course, my friend Adrian over here at Rise Attire, he is just as talented with his artwork and his craft, and he's a hell of a video maker too, if I might say. Who cares? It says, National Guard on campuses, reminiscent of 1968. It is. It's absolutely. Now, here's the thing. One more comment about National Guard presence. I mean, I think a lot of people are thinking this, you know. Well, the National Guard, the military. Okay, so, I mean, National Guard deployed in these cities. Maybe this is something people have been waiting for. It can go both ways. It's 50-50. It's either like, well, the National Guard might be there on behalf of the governors of those states. Okay, getting back to what I was saying about God Emperor status for Biden. They could be there to offset that power that Biden is trying to grab to take control of the country and stop the return of Donald Trump. Or maybe they're going to be there on behalf of Joe Biden, trying to grab control of the country and become God Emperor of the United States of America, ending elections in the, just like they did in the Democratic Republic of Ukraine. That's not a democracy. It's an autocracy. It's an authoritarian dictatorship, which is what Joe Biden, I think, would like to do here on behalf of Barack Hussein Obama. Jim Kyle says, who's kidding? Who's kidding who? Solar is so expensive to install and the payback, I'll never see it because I'll be dead. Yeah, if you don't get solar when you're a young man, you're never going to get the payback. That's absolutely true. And they completely rip people off on behalf of that stuff. You know, they tell you about all the tax incentives and all the breaks they're going to give you. If you have enough solar to run your house, you're talking maybe, well, depending on the size of your house, $40,000 to $60,000. Are you going to get battery backups? Because that's the only way you're going to power anything at night. The sun isn't out at night. A solar battery system with the pricing that they have now, 20, 30 grand, easy, just for the batteries. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate you. Let's see. Water Wizard says, how does this stop BB and Jew? How does this stop BB and Jew holes? I don't know what that means. Don't know what that means. Oh, are you talking about the protesters? It doesn't. Okay, that's the easy answer right there. It does nothing. Okay, they're going to stop Columbia, or they're going to stop NYU from doing what? I mean, are they in Israel? Are they the ones that are, like, you know, fighting with the Palestinians? No. I mean, what are they doing? It's so ridiculous. You know, what do you even want? They know it's going to do nothing. It is protest for protest's sake. That's why these girls have, you know, no firm grasp on even why they're there. Their ideology is baseless. Okay. Their ideology is protest. That's all it is. Okay. Protest, resistance on behalf of the state, the brand new communist state that they want to bring in. Boys Blanc, good to see you, bud. Dropping a cookie. I appreciate you. Yes, see. So yeah, I've got a generator as well, which is great, you know, when we have hurricanes and stuff. And I would love to have like a whole home generator that ran on multiple fuels or something, but it was just way too expensive. I saw one on Amazon. It was actually pretty inexpensive that runs on propane. But it was just huge. And I mean, it was portable. So I really wouldn't have any place to put it. I tried to order it. I'll be honest. I tried to order it and it didn't arrive before the hurricane. And so I just canceled the order. All right. So, thank you. Thank you guys. All right. So. getting back to Joe Biden's plan, clearly he's acting on behalf of somebody else. I think that's Hussein, and I think that's the CIA and the deep state. Okay, all these people working together. He would like to seize total power of the United States. They want to bankrupt us, and they want to send all the money to Ukraine. They'll steal it, and then, you know, they'll be okay. And if they can do that, they can also stop Trump from returning. And then, you know, here we are. We're in this predicament we are. And a lot of what you see happening to Trump in the courts, that's, of course, all related to it. But none of it's working. Okay? They will not be successful. I think the governors of our states are going to recognize that Joe Biden is trying to seize power in a way that is unprecedented. Everybody sees what they're doing to Trump. Everybody sees what the media is doing to Trump. And they recognize that, this is a place that I don't remember growing up in. Things are very, very different today, and we need to fight back. The states need to take their own sovereignty back. The states need to fill in the gaps where the Biden regime, the DHS, and all these other federal agencies who exist solely to exist and to generate their own revenue streams. We need to take our power back. We need to take our power back, and we need to demand that you stay the hell out of our business. I think that will happen, and I think we're seeing it play out right now, especially with what's happening at the border. But should Joe Biden attempt to seize God Emperor status, well, then the governors of our states are going to say, hell no, we're not going to do it. Speaking of the media, let's get back into some of these stories I've got here for you. So right here is The View. It was revealed just yesterday that there's been this group of prominent never-Trumpers, people who are constantly on the media, talking heads on, you know, all of the shows that you expect to see. Apparently, they've been having weekly brainstorming sessions for the last 2 years, trying to strategize on exactly how they're going to stop Trump. Must stop Trump. Orange man, bad. And if we take a look at this handy-dandy little graphic here, you'll probably see some people that you recognize, and that includes Bill Kristol. Bill Kristol has been a prominent neocon war hawk for many years. He hates Trump, and he's basically made it his life's mission to stop him from coming back. And then, of course, you also have Andrew Weissman, former government employee, and also part of the Mueller team to try to take down Donald Trump. He was unsuccessful. That's really got to piss him off. He's basically one of the anointed princes of the deep state. You also have this gentleman, and I use that term loosely, in the upper right-hand corner, Lawrence Tribe. He was a member of the Biden-Obama cadre of Harvard nutcases that obviously hate Trump for many different reasons. And then below that, you've got this bloviating sack of human excrement. That would be George Conway, the husband of Kellyanne Conway. I don't know why they're still married. You differ that much from somebody ideologically, and I would think that you would probably just go in your own way. Hey, it's Tony Man. Tony Man has joined as a monthly supporter over on Rumble. Thank you, bro. Appreciate you. And then, of course, you have Jeffrey Toobin, you know, Lubin Toobin. You guys remember him? He's the one who was caught jacking off on a Zoom call on CNN. Let me just say, if you're on a Zoom call for work, it's probably not a good time to masturbate, okay? That seems like just like a totally normal thing. Anybody else, I would imagine, would be like the first thing that occurs to them. You know, I got to try real hard not to jack off while I'm on this Zoom call for work. Like, what? Like, come on, man. You don't have enough private time. You don't have enough alone time. It's got to be when you're on the Zoom call with your CNN commentators. My goodness. He must be a sex addict or, you know, totally depraved or something like that. Let's see. You've also got John Dean. You might remember John Dean because he was one of the people who helped to set up Richard Nixon, and he actually testified during one of Trump's impeachment trials. And it should be of no surprise to you that these people who hate Donald Trump, who are constantly writing articles about why Donald Trump can't return, constantly going on the neighborhood news programs to talk about why Donald Trump must be stopped and why he can't come back, it should be of no surprise to you that these people have been working together. Apparently, they started meeting when they were coordinating their testimony for January 6th, putting together their lies, their coordinated lies for January 6th to try to stop Donald Trump and try to destroy him before they had to engage in massive, massive shows of lawfare. Well, now... Siva says, oh man, now you tell me. Oh man, let me just say this. If you didn't know, you shouldn't pleasure yourself on a Zoom call with your coworkers. Now you do. You've got no excuse. All right. So speaking of the lawfare aspect of this, that's the arc of this story that we're in right now, because President Trump is facing these cases all around the country. And on Monday, was the gag order hearing. Judge Juan Marchand, was just giving it to Donald Trump's lawyers. Now, listen to this. What are you supposed to do as an attorney? You're supposed to argue on behalf of your client, get them justice. I mean, and that is exactly what President Trump's team did. But obviously, every single person involved in this saga outside of Trump and his team are entirely compromised. Okay. They are working specifically to deny President Trump his rights, to deny him due process. They don't care about justice. They care about the narrative. And the narrative for them is that Trump bad, can't return, must destroy. So Judge Marchand appeared to show a bit of a dark side during this gag order hearing on Monday. He, of course, was holding this hearing to determine whether or not President Trump violated this gag order, which many people would tell you is unconstitutional. President Trump has certainly said it himself. I have echoed that sentiment here on my program. The only people who I say, like, gag order good, Trump bad, are the people who are trying to take him down. But it's highly, highly unusual for President Trump or for anybody to be gagged in this manner. The man is a presidential candidate. He is a former president, and many would say he may still be president. But for all intents and purposes, he is running for president, and he will return in January of 2025. But this gag order prevents President Trump from making public comments. Other people can make public comments about him, but he is unfortunately unable to comment on any aspect of this case. He can't talk about any witnesses who are participating in the trial, and obviously there are people he has spoken about on many occasions in the past. What, Michael Cohen, Stormy Daniels, she owes him $300,000 because she lied about him, but of course he can't talk about that anymore. Oh, and then of course Alvin Bragg, who's a very unfair district attorney, somebody who simply was unable to cogently put together a series of charging documents for Donald Trump in this trial because there were no underlying crimes. Donald Trump did nothing wrong, and it was all smoke and mirrors. He can't talk about members of the court's staff. He can't talk about the district attorney's staff. He can't talk about the family members, the adult children of Judge Marchand, of course, the woman who is working for the Biden regime and who's actually raising money on this trial itself. She's raised close to $20 million since Donald Trump was indicted and her father begged to be on this case. He can't talk about anyone, no one at all. So during the arguments for this case, Judge Marchand appeared to basically provide the prosecution with enough time to persecute President Trump and allegedly claim that he had violated that order. But remember, justice is supposed to be equally applied under the law. But screw that. This is New York, baby. When it came time for President Trump's attorney, Todd Blanche, to make the arguments for Donald Trump, for the defense's side, Marchand grew seemingly impatient. He grew angry, fiery, you might say. Court reporters who were watching it were a bit taken aback. And Blanche attempted to argue that President Trump reposting an article on Truth Social was not a violation of the gag order because he didn't make any specific comments. He just reposted an article. Well, at that point, Judge Marchand asked what case law supports that argument. Well, he said, I don't have any case law to support it. It's just common sense, Your Honor. So then Judge Marchand flew into a rage. He asked how reposting was any different than posting. Where does it say that? Give me the case law, Marchand said. He said, Your Honor, there's... And then Marchand interrupted him. He said, let me ask you, when something is reposted, how does it get into your client's Truth Social account? Jim Kyle says, be serious. Who's paying for all these sham cases? Can't Congress stop funding these cases? Well, I mean, they're going to be paid for technically by the taxpayers of these jurisdictions. So, no, unfortunately, I don't think that they could waltz in and just say, you're no longer allowed to pay for this. I truly, Jim, believe that, although it's frustrating, believe me, it's frustrating for me too, and that's why I talk about it, because I want to put these people on display. I want to expose them. I want to expose their corruption. America needs to see this happening. It is intrinsically unfair. The deck is stacked against Donald Trump, and for the Americans who haven't seen it yet, they need to witness this playing out so that they can come to the same conclusion that we already have long ago, that this is a failed and corrupt establishment that is doing things illegally to try to destroy Donald Trump. Now, at the end of the day, although it may be the taxpayers who are officially footing the bill, you better believe that the Biden regime in the White House is directly funneling money into these various court systems. And ultimately, it is the taxpayers of the entire United States of America that are paying for this. It's the Biden regime who are footing the bill. It's the Biden regime who are cutting the check. And it's the Obama regime who are giving the reach around to the Biden regime to make sure that this gets done. So Mershon, he says, show me the case law. He then asked Blanche to explain if Trump believed he was not violating the gag order. He said, I'd like to hear that, he explained. So then Blanche tried to explain to him, tried to answer the question, and Mershon said, Blanche, you're losing all credibility. I have to tell you right now, you're losing all credibility with the court. And the mainstream media took that quote and they went mad. They loved it. They loved it. Oh my God. You know, the worst thing you can do is to lose your credibility in front of a judge. But the judge is not allowing the lawyer for President Trump to explain himself. He's not allowing him to get his argument out. He didn't even allow him to answer whether or not Trump thought he was violating the gag order. I mean, again, there's a certain amount of common sense that comes into play here, and you would expect that a New York State Supreme Court judge like Juan Marchand, who may be a Democrat, but apparently he did graduate from law school, apparently he's been smart enough to stay a judge all this time, but, you know, obviously it's no longer a meritocracy. Judge Marchand, for all we know, may have been a diversity hire. I'm not going to claim that he was, because I don't know for sure, but of course, there's a lot of stupid people in a lot of important positions today in America who simply have no business being there, as far as I'm concerned. So I guess that Mershon started to calm down. Maybe he took a Xanax or something, or maybe just some valerian root. I don't know. But in the eyes of the New York Times, Mershon is pleading with Blanche. Pleading, oh, please, Mr. Blanche, make me a more substantive argument. Back up the idea that these reposts should not be subject to the gag order. He says, I hate to keep coming back to this, but you're not offering me anything to support your argument. Oh, how about a base level IQ of 70, Mershon? A person who is bordering on mentally disabled is going to be able to understand a repost is different from actually making your own statement. You're just sharing something. You're just sharing something. That's all it is, Mershon. That's all it is. And we just thought you were smart enough to figure that out. Maybe he is smart enough to figure that out. And maybe this is all just part of his plot to sabotage this case from the inside. I tend to believe that's what it is. I mean, he's not that stupid, although he may be acting that way. So then Mershon continued to push Todd Blanche. He continued to ask him to clarify his arguments. And eventually he just kept saying, hey, this is the argument. Okay, a repost is not a post. It's different. It's fundamentally different. And anybody who uses social media can tell you that. Eventually, Mershon said, you've presented nothing. And then he said he wasn't going to rule at that time. He was going to rule at another point. Personally, I think that Donald Trump wants to be ruled out of order. He wants for Mershon to find him as violating that gag order. And I hope that he doesn't show up to court on the date of Barron's graduation from high school. Guys, we got to take a break for the second half of the show. Sit back, please, and we'll be right back in a moment. Warnings of a recession are growing louder as we near sell in May and go away. All signs appear to point to a sizable downturn for the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ. Now, meanwhile, gold prices have been hitting all-time highs, and the rally is far from over. Now, y'all know silver is always late to the party, but once it finds momentum, it can easily outperform gold. So protect your retirement with gold or place a bullish bet on silver. Call the proud Americans of the Patriot Gold Group today before it's too late. Just mention Red Pill 78 and this show, Red Pill News, and you're always going to get best-in-class service from Patriots Protecting Patriots. Patriot Gold Group has the no-fee for life IRA, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver, and you just might be eligible for that no fee for life IRA on qualifying rollovers. So give them a call today at 888-857-6092 and get your free investor guide today. Patriot Gold Group is a Consumer Affairs top rated gold IRA dealer for 7 years in a row. Call them today at 888-857-6092. And when you support my sponsors, you support this channel. All right. So I was just seeing a comment from ChronoViewer in the chat about Karen Reed, the murder trial. Is that the woman who is accused of, like, killing her husband or her fiance? Like, he was actually killed by his cop buddies, if I'm not mistaken, and they're framing her for the murder. Am I thinking of the same one? Also, Donald Trump is not Jesus Christ. Messenger 911. Please don't say that. He's not Jesus Christ. He's a completely different person. He may be anointed by God. He may have been sent here for this time by God to take down the deep state and help us to restore America, but he's not Jesus Christ. I'm going to stick to that one. Okay. Anyways, Alvin Bragg, the corrupt New York City district attorney who is overseeing this trial in Judge Juan Marchand's court, when he began opening statements on Monday in this hush money payments, apparently he and his prosecutors lied to the jury. Judge Alvin Bragg's top prosecutor actually lied during his opening statement. What he did is he claimed that President Trump orchestrated a criminal scheme to corrupt the 2016 presidential election when he paid porn star Stormy Daniels to shut up and stop talking about their affair. Now, President Trump has denied the affair. Stormy Daniels has denied this affair. It's alleged that Stormy Daniels and Michael Cohen were the ones who were actually bumping uglies, and they came up with this idea to extort money from Donald Trump to keep it quiet. But Bragg's top prosecutor, the one who gave the opening statements, Matthew Colangelo, who just happens to be a former Biden administration employee, previously worked at the Biden Justice Department. He is a lifelong left-wing activist. He said the defendant, Donald Trump, orchestrated a criminal scheme to corrupt the 2016 presidential election. Then he covered up that criminal conspiracy by lying in his New York business records over and over again. Now, I've said this so many times. Donald Trump was running a company. Okay. He was the CEO of the Trump Organization. He didn't do the books. All right. He's not even the one who wrote the check. All right. The presumption of guilt in this trial is just so ridiculous. And the things that they say to try to bring down Donald Trump and impugn his character. Okay. I thought my screen was cracked for a second. The claims that he somehow influenced the 2016 election by paying off Stormy Daniels, it's absolutely ridiculous. The payments that were made to Stormy Daniels did not come from any account that had anything to do with President Trump's presidential campaign. It was all made through his internal business records. He didn't take a tax deduction for this payment. He had no obligation to file it with the FEC. His attorney said all of this in court. But Alvin Bragg, of course, did not exactly explain what he wanted to convict President Trump of in the charging documents. They've basically been making it up as they go along. It's another glaring example of a two-tier justice system that we have. If you'll remember, Hillary Clinton in 2022, the FEC fined her and the DNC $113,000 for lying about funding the fake Russian dossier. If you're going to make the argument that President Trump making a hush money payment, or his company making a hush money payment to to take a porn star and get her to keep her mouth shut. This is nothing new. Rich people do this all the time. They make easy marks. People show up and they say, oh, yeah, well, I'm going to tell everybody that we had sex unless you pay me $130,000. If you've got tens of millions of dollars, if you've got billions of dollars, it's much easier to get rid of the headache and just say, you know what, write her the check. Make this bitch go away. I'm done. I don't want to deal with this. I've got more important things to do. I'm saving a nation. But Hillary Clinton, if you make that argument, how can you not make the argument that Hillary Clinton attempted to influence the results of the 2016 election by paying someone, Christopher Steele, hundreds of thousands of dollars to make up the Steele dossier? I mean, they paid for so much. And then they cost the American people tens of millions of dollars in investigations. They have sacrificed much of the integrity of the American fabric of this nation simply by creating this lie, this psychological operation to divide and conquer the American people. What about Adam Schiff, who kept going on air to tell the American people through conduits like MSNBC and CNN and even going on Fox News and saying that he had hardcore evidence, 100% fact, proof positive that Donald Trump was working for Vladimir Putin? Shit didn't exist. He got paid money to do so. Why are we not saying that Adam Schiff tried to undermine America by influencing the 2016 and the 2020 election, and even to deep six Donald Trump in the 2018 midterms? But the FEC fining Hillary Clinton, they said conclusively that her campaign violated the rules because they failed to disclose those payments that they funneled through Fusion GPS, through the DNC law firm Perkins Coie, and guess what? It was paid out of her campaign funds. That means that she was donated to. She broke the law when she failed to notify the FEC of what she was doing. And of course, she did a lot of damage to America. And most importantly, she tried to directly influence the 2016 election by creating a psychological operation of Donald Trump getting pissed on by Russian hookers and working for Vladimir Putin. Didn't happen, son. None of it was real. It was all fake. It was all fake, and she tried to influence the 2016 election. Only difference is, didn't work. It's because people know that Hillary Clinton is evil. People don't want to vote for Hillary Clinton. Oh, you might wonder why I'm not 50 points ahead. Well, I'll tell you why, Hillary. It's because you're unlikable. It's because you smell like garlic. It's because you can't stand up for long periods of time and you have trouble walking up and down steps, not to mention the whole witchcraft thing. But President Trump today sits in court because he is used and abused by a two-tier justice system, slandered by prosecutors who simply make things up as they go along. Democrats destroying the American judicial system, and I will say this, Republicans doing nothing to stop them. It's the uniparty apparatus working together all at the same time. Now, sulfur. Yes, she smells like sulfur. All right, so let me say thank you to Vector. He says, I emailed you about an important interview with an Australian senator. I rang his office, and they said to book. They said that I can book him? Are you talking about the former prime minister of Australia? Scott Morrison, I saw that come through, but I haven't had internet for the last couple of days, so I haven't read any emails since I got home. But, tell me if I'm thinking of the same people. Wow, that would be actually pretty cool to interview Scott Morrison. ATD 1204, thank you for the 100 gold pills. Thank you to Who Cares, who says, watch Mershon rule that Trump violated, charge him $10,000 and put him on house arrest and a monitor for 72 hours. Go for it. You know, it's going to be a great campaign tool for President Trump. He's going to use it to his advantage, and the people of this nation are going to look at it, and they're going to say, yep, one more thing. One more reason to get rid of this criminal, corrupt establishment. One more reason not to trust the American government, whether it's the state of New York or the city of New York or the entire federal government. Corrupt, bought, paid for, blackmailed, evil, all of it's true. Every single point. Every single point. And the American people are witnessing it in real time. Now, here's for a win in President Trump's corner. This is also on Monday. Letitia James had a bit of a bad day. She was trying to get the judge to withdraw President Trump's $175 million bond. And the judge said, psh, 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 nuh-uh, you can't win this one. So she asked this judge to do it on Friday. And of course, the $175 million bond, this is the appeal that President Trump needed to file in the civil fraud case where they're trying to take all of his money, $500 million. And she had argued that a California-based Knight specialty insurance company, it's not an approved business in New York. Wow, she had to dig deep on that one. She also questioned whether or not Knight Specialty Insurance Company actually has the funds to back up that $175 million bond that President Trump had posted. So from the filing, Letitia James says, based on KSIC's policyholder surplus in its most recent annual financial statement of $138,441,671, the limitation of loss on any one risk that KSIC is permitted to write is $13.8 million. The face amount of the bond exceeds this limitation by $161.2 million. Now, she also argued that KSIC is not qualified to act as the surety under this standard because its management has been found by federal authorities to have operated affiliated companies with KSIC's holding company structure in violation of federal law on multiple occasions within the past several years. So therefore, they do not have an exclusive right to control the account and will not obtain such control unless and until they exercise a right to do so on 2 days' notice. So she had asked the judge to violate Trump's bond and require him to post another bond within 7 days. Now, everybody knows how difficult it was for President Trump to get that bond in the first place. And if they were to do that, there is a likelihood that President Trump might not be able to find that $175 million anywhere else. So the judge said, no, Letitia, sit down, peekaboo, has instead ruled in favor of President Trump. President Trump is not going to have to secure another bond. President Trump is just going to continue on with his appeal as indicated. Now, they also ruled that Knight Insurance is going to have to provide a monthly financial statement so that Letitia James can prove that that $175 million in cash is actually there. And they decided that this $175 million has got to be liquid. They have to have that $175 million at all times. They can't do it in mutual funds. They can't do it in securities because those values might fluctuate. Snowcat Operator, thank you very much for the donation over there on Ko-Fi, my friend. I sincerely appreciate it. Now, this is actually, I should have had this queued up a little earlier, but Texas Representative Lance Gooden is demanding that Attorney General Merrick Garland and, of course, DA Alvin Bragg in New York turn over some evidence they're looking for related to why they hired this former Biden DOJ employee, Colangelo. He's the one who is really running the show. Alvin Bragg is not smart enough to come up with this plan to try to take down President Trump. That's why they had to hire somebody else in the same way that Fannie Willis is not smart enough to put together this plan to destroy Donald Trump. They had to bring in one of their Biden insiders. So Lance Gooden sent out a letter to Merrick Garland yesterday, seeking information about the hiring, demanding that they turn over evidence related to the process to bring in former Biden attorney Matthew Colangelo, because again, he is running the show to take down President Trump. There is a direct link to Joe Biden. Every time you see one of these cases, just know there is always going to be a thread back to the Biden regime, which is directly back to the Obama regime. So Gooden calls the hiring of Colangelo a declaration of war against the American judicial system, a system that, in my opinion, was already broken and needed to be proven to the American people so that we can finally get justice for this nation. Back in April of 2023, it was reported that Colangelo had some ties between Bragg and then, of course, the Biden regime. And it was back in early April that it was already demanded by House Judiciary that the office of Alvin Bragg turn over these documents related to his hiring. Well, of course, as we've seen so often, those that are seeking to persecute President Trump demanding the sun, moon, and stars, they're not often too eager to turn over information themselves, because at the end of the day, as I stated, all of these cases lead directly to Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. and his puppet master, Barack Hussein Obama, which, of course, is the deep state itself. So, really, these cases would not exist if it wasn't for the fear of the deep state to try to destroy President Trump in whatever way they can. So Gooden is demanding answers. Why are you not turning over this information? We are the Congress. We have oversight. You need to do that. Now, Colangelo abruptly stepped down from a top position in the Biden Justice Department so that he could take this job at the New York District Attorney's Office. And they need to ensure some accountability, some transparency if this case is going to be upheld. So Gooden is demanding the preservation of all information they have related to the hiring of Colangelo. That includes all documents, all communications, any other information, including electronic information, metadata. This may or may not be potentially responsible lead to a congressional inquiry, inquest, or investigation. I hope it does. Put it on display. Gooden, don't just stand there with your thumb you know where. Let's get it done. Let's show America how this is directly tied to the Biden regime and how it is a deep state takedown of President Trump. Now, this is going to need to include any type of communication between Bragg and Colangelo themselves or any other DOJ officials while Colangelo was still employed at the DOJ. What do you want to bet they're going to accidentally delete that stuff? Also, it's going to need to include any communications with the Biden regime. Very important if we're going to show that link going directly back into the White House. So all of these things are going to have to be turned over. Now, I do not have a ton of hope that they're going to be willing to do this. But Gooden had some specific questions. Was Mr. Colangelo asked to leave the DOJ, or did he accept a new position in a lower office voluntarily? It's an excellent question. He was probably making good money at the DOJ. He had a position of power. He had risen up the ranks, and he was the darling of the Biden regime. Why would he go to a job in a little old New York where it's full of scum and villainy? Why would he take less money just so that he could give it to Donald Trump? If Mr. Colangelo was instructed to leave, here's the real question. Who was telling him to leave? Was he promised something in return for accepting a substantial demotion from his position within the Department of Justice? Is Mr. Colangelo still in contact with officials at the DOJ, people like Merrick Garland or perhaps his former co-workers? He's got to be getting his leads from somewhere. And has Mr. Colangelo, in his capacity at the Manhattan District Attorney's Office, coordinated with the DOJ and other state attorneys in Trump-related indictments? I think that we know the answer to all those questions. Obviously, he has been. This has been a coordinated effort, an orchestrated effort. Now, interestingly enough, Judge Eileen Cannon on Monday also ordered the redaction of some very key details in the Trump classified documents case. These are documents that Jack Smith has been trying very, very hard to keep redacted. And you're going to find out why here in just a moment. Now, she also revealed to us the code name the FBI used for the classified documents investigation. So, long and the short of it is that when Judge Eileen Cannon ordered these documents to be unredacted, it revealed immediately exactly what I've been saying. The Biden White House has direct ties to the Mar-a-Lago raid. We've learned this before, but this is a new direct connection. They were also directly tied to Jack Smith's investigation. And if you will remember, the Biden White House, Jack Smith, the DOJ itself has always claimed that this was completely independent. Merrick Garland has always said, the Biden White House has nothing to do with it. This is all an independent special prosecutor investigation. Now, these newly unredacted documents revealed that the code name the FBI was using for the investigation into the presidential records case is called Plasmic Echo. Plasmic Echo. That's an interesting one, and I haven't actually had time to sit down and think about the implications of it, but Echo seems like, a reverberation. And obviously, they are attempting to destroy President Trump before he is able to return to the White House. So, from the documents, Plasmic Echo, mishandling of classified or national defense information, unknown subject, sensitive investigative matter. We've got documents from quite a few times. Now, you know, the real question is, what does that mean? Why would they call it plasmic echo? I mean, obviously there is always some sort of intention and like an inside gag, you might say, when it comes to this stuff. Tom Qcat says, oh, come on, Zach. Why defame garlic? Is my stream still working? No, my stream is not working. Can you guys see me over on Pilled? Chat is disabled on Rumble. Yeah, I see that the chat has shut down on my screen, too. It looks like I'm the only person watching my stream over on Rumble, even. It's no longer live on Rumble. What the hell? Why did that happen? Rumble is just not working at all. Yeah, nothing is happening over on Rumble. How lame is this? Okay, well, I'm not sure what to do. I guess I'm going to go ahead and I'll end the live stream over on Rumble. Yeah, we'll end it. And then we'll try to... Wow, Rumble just appears to not be working. There are multiple... What the heck is going on here? Yeah, it looks like it's not working at all. Huh. Well, let me try this a different way, guys. No, because I'll have to end everything. Yeah, Crumble. Yeah, yeah, evidently Crumble is a... Yeah, I know Rumble doesn't work.
No.
I'm on Rumble?
Yeah, it's off of...
Okay, well, it's not going to be there for long because I'm not seeing any sort of live in my back end. It's just, it's going to quit. It's going to quit any second. Fuck. Excuse me. Okay. God dang it. Yeah. It's not going to work for very much longer. Hang on. Well, guys, if you're watching on Rumble and you can hear me, I'm going to have to create a new stream. Why does this suck so bad? Replay is being prepared. Ended. Yeah, this is so lame. Let me do this. Static stream key. Okay, so let me copy that. No. Okay. Yeah. So we're gonna do this. I'm just gonna go live on my static stream key because that should allow me to just start. Okay. Copy. Save and let's give it a shot. All right, honey. I'm trying something different because Rumble is so bad today. Let's see if this works. Yeah, there we go. And Red Pill News. Okay. Let's give it a shot. And live streaming, open link in a new tab. All right. Okay, it looks like I'm live. Yeah, I don't know if it's working, but hold on. It'll take a minute for it to load up. Let me get my chat back on screen, cause we have a lot more to talk about, guys. Drop it. Okay. And okay. Oh, can you see it, honey? You can see it? All right. So I see her in the chat. Let me go back over to here. No, that didn't work. Hold on. We back yet? Yes, we should be back, Otterly. And God, why is Rumble so bad? All right. So it looks like we should be working. Am I on screen? Okay. You can hear me on Rumble. Rumble is back. Rumble is working. Okay. Excellent. All right, so let's get back into so I guess you guys might have missed, if you weren't on Pilled or you weren't on Getter or you weren't on Twitter, you probably missed my conversation here talking about the investigation into President Trump's classified documents. Plasmic Echo is the name of the investigation. So if we take a look at these investigations. All right, so on February 24th of 2022, I believe this is the first document to actually mention it. And if you take a look here, this redacted version only is what was supposed to be actually released to the public. There's still quite a few pieces that are actually redacted on it. But it was 1 month later, on March 30th, that Merrick Garland actually approved the full investigation, even though obviously Plasmic Echo had been conceived and put together quite some time before that. The FBI ended up raiding Mar-a-Lago not until August of 2022, and this is when they seized all those boxes of documents. You had people showing up, FBI agents with machine guns. They raided Mar-a-Lago in August 22. I was on the road when it happened. I had to make a video with my phone, like, standing outside. And then in November, that's when Biden's DOJ ended up appointing, unconstitutionally, I might add, Jack Smith and his special counsel to end up investigating those documents. Here we are. You can see on screen, this is the kind of treatment that they give President Trump because we have a corrupt and captured federal bureaucracy that's run by a deep state apparatus, a failed and corrupt establishment. So within a couple of months, you had Jack Smith issue just a whole bunch of subpoenas, and it was June of 2023 that Trump was finally indicted on 37 bogus federal charges. And that investigation into President Trump's presidential records that were stored at Mar-a-Lago, it has all of the hallmarks of the previous numerous witch hunts that were designed to destroy Donald Trump, all based on lies. And I might add to you that the classified documents investigation didn't begin until Joe Biden's own classified documents had been discovered in like 7 or 8 places all around the United States of America. And of course, we already knew about all of the other corruption that Joe Biden and his crooked criminal family were engaged in as well. Now, the original investigation in 2016 into President Trump, that was Crossfire Hurricane. And you go back to July of 2016, again, President Trump under assault, FBI agent Peter Strzok opened up a counterintelligence investigation into President Trump, called it Crossfire Hurricane, on suspicions only, but there was no evidence, of course, that the Russian had infiltrated President Trump's inner circle. Obviously, the Steele dossier that Hillary Clinton paid for and failed to notify the FEC of is what started all of that. That was used as the basis, and then they reported on it in the mainstream media, and they created this kind of circle jerk of deep state people looking into destroying President Trump. Now, for years, the DOJ and the FBI had resisted the release of the specific electronic communication that was used to launch this scam investigation because it revealed that the entire spying operation was a scam. It had no basis to begin in the first place. And that electronic communication revealed to us in the end that Peter Strzok had opened Crossfire Hurricane based on third-hand information that the Russian government had been seeking prominent members of Donald Trump's campaign to engage in some sort of espionage and prepare for a potential post-election relation should President Trump be elected. That was a lie. None of it ever happened. And it was last year that John Durham finally released his final report, and his findings showed that the FBI had no verified intel when it opened Crossfire Hurricane into President Trump in 2016. So whether you think Durham was a nothing burger or a something burger, that one point is extremely important because it points out that the underlying premise for all of the investigations into President Trump were fictitious. They didn't exist. Now, you can take the current investigations into President Trump and you can look at them through the exact same lens. There is nothing real. There is nothing factual. There is no factual basis to investigate President Trump now in the same way there weren't back then in 2016. Now, Julie Kelly has done a great job. She put out a whole bunch of different classified documents, now unredacted, so we can actually see what it was that Jack Smith didn't want us to know. SKG04 says, you're the best, Zach. I love your podcasts. Thank you very much, SKG. I appreciate you as well. You know what? Excuse me. I gotta edit the names of the streams real quick because I don't want people to get confused. So this one was part one. Let's see. Part one. There we go. Oh wow. They didn't put any categories in there. That's so weird. So let's see. Trending news. Yes. Okay. Save it. Excuse me. And this one is part two. Yes. And this is also a podcast and trending news. Okay, great. Now that I got that taken care of, I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for the, hey, you guys, Diddy Style is in the chat. I got to meet Diddy Style for the second time over the weekend. Bro, I hope that you found that, that ass wang video because I had, lost my voice on Sunday and I was unable to do the final panel and therefore I couldn't do the ass wang speak. But he says, oh, seven brother, great to see you this weekend. It was a blast to meet you as well. I'm so glad that you came out. I guess I don't know what you've told the audience about where you're at. So I'll just say that it was great to see Diddy and, it was great to meet everybody over the weekend. Two in the pink. Good to see you. He says, screw Rumble, Zach. They are interrupting your show every 5 minutes with commercials. That's gay. But as a person who has been kicked off of so many platforms, I can only complain so much. I just want my shows and my information to go out and as many platforms as possible. So thank you very, very much. Appreciate you guys. Let me go back here. So on the left, we have the original document. This is the document that Jack Smith wanted to conceal. All right. And you can see here, you've got a lot of stuff that is redacted. You're not allowed to see it. But look at this. Per 40. Who is per 40? What are they talking about? You've got a series of lies. You've got a series of similar situations to the Crossfire Hurricane investigation. You've got open and blatant coordination between the Biden White House and a number of different agencies, including NARA. Within 24 hours of receiving these boxes from Mar-a-Lago, you have an assessment from NARA, which essentially shows that this is a big nothing burger. There's nothing there for them to look at. Now, remember, they're trying to say that President Trump has been uncooperative. He's tried to obstruct the investigation and justice. We've got here, as part of the information Jack Smith wanted to redact, an email to a man named Jay Brad. He is the DO chief investigator who actually visited Mar-a-Lago back in June of 2022 before President Trump got raided. Now he's working with Jack Smith. He's heading up Jack Smith in the classified documents trial. He was here. President Trump emailed him and said, hey, I want to introduce myself and see if there's anything I can help you with, anything I can do to make this investigation easier because I've got nothing to hide. So let's take a look here at a summation from Julie Kelly. What did we learn through the unredacting of these documents? What did we find out when all of these previously secret things that Jack Smith was trying to hold from Donald Trump and the American public? What did we find out? Well, we find out that documents in this case show that defendants are not entitled to discovery of internal government correspondence and memoranda. They're also not entitled to documents that are otherwise privileged. We also find that Jack Smith believes that the court should deny defendants' request for evidence of improper coordination with NARA, which they did, and they should deny defendants' rights to a look at information that might be showing bias and investigative misconduct, which both occurred. Of course they did. Jack Smith would also have the court believe that they should deny the defendants' requests for evidence related to President Trump's security clearance with the Department of Energy. In this instance, Jack Smith is saying, well, you know, President Trump's Q clearance, that means absolutely nothing. As a result of President Trump's ongoing security clearance, that should negate the question of any of these cases regarding classified documents. President Trump has a security clearance. He's got the right to hold on to the evidence. Not to mention the fact that he unclassified all of this stuff. Now, they also want the court to deny the request for evidence related to secure facilities at President Trump's residences. Remember, President Trump has a skiff at Mar-a-Lago. And, of course, the court should deny the defendant's request for production of materials concerning the search for Mar-a-Lago. You're not allowed, pleb, to learn why we did what we did. And defendant's request for unredacted discovery of materials should be denied. Well, of course, it needed to be denied because it showed the clear collaboration between the Biden White House and NARA and the Department of Justice and Jack Smith in their effort to run this classified documents case against President Trump and use it as a tool to destroy him. So we got all of these new versions of documents. President Trump's motion to compel discovery in the Mar-a-Lago documents case came through from Judge Eileen Cannon. And a lot of this information had been put out before, but it was originally redacted by probably Jack Smith at the behest of Joe Biden. With it being unredacted, it is a much different ballgame. In one section, which was titled Early Indications of NARA Bias, this is the heavily redacted section in an original piece on January 16th that now shows that the NARA General Counsel Gary Stern sent an internal email attaching a draft letter to President Trump talking about the Presidential Records Act, and his representatives. Now, Stern noted in that letter he had several conversations with whom? White House Office of Record Management's, and then a couple of other people who are redacted, could be Joe Biden, could be Merrick Garland, and that they had raised some of the concerns directly with David Ferriero, who is the NARA archivist. Stern's draft concluded that things were very chaotic, and they always are in the course of a one-term transition. And he acknowledged that the transfer of the Trump electronic records was still ongoing and it would not be complete for several months. Now, for the majority of this section, it includes an exhibit note explaining that an employee of NARA explained to the FBI that it is not uncommon that the Presidential Records Act material collection extends past the close of any presidential administration. Now, I could have told you that. I don't work in the federal government, but considering the fact that every single president who served prior to Donald Trump and even their vice presidents, they maintained records after they left the White House, even in instances such as Joseph Robinette Biden, where he had no such authority to do so. So it's not uncommon that this may take some time. You're trying to unwind a big Gordian knot. And sometimes it takes longer, much longer, well past the close of any given presidential administration. Why would Jack Smith not want President Trump to know that? Why would Jack Smith not want the American people to know that? Because it proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is yet another witch hunt. A series of misguided attempts to try to destroy Donald Trump using the power and the pressure of the federal government of the United States under the sick red hand of Joseph Robinette Biden at the behest of Barack Hussein Obama. In another section titled, The Biden Administration Weaponizes the PRA, it states, thank you, honey. Yes, please. Sorry, I guess I haven't spoken much the last couple of days, even though I have, but not like this. All right, so in September, late September of 2021, without disclosing that the NARA had already drafted a referral letter and contacted the Department of Justice, Deputy White House Counsel Jonathan Sue asked one of President Trump's PRA representatives to permit someone in redacted form to access notes from the Trump administration related to records handling. Sounds like another trap that they don't want you to know about. So then Sue interviewed
intervened, rather, when Stern offered to provide a copy of the notes to President Trump's PRA representative. Could we discuss the process before anything is provided to them? Seems rather even-handed and totally legitimate given the circumstances. So then, that section, after the name Jonathan Suh, is completely redacted. They don't want you to know what he told President Trump's representative. But Stern agreed to coordinate on this issue with the Biden regime. However, he informed Suh that the request was atypical. This is not normally what happens. Why? Because they're trying to trap President Trump. Normally, they would have to provide the records to him per the notification review process before we could provide anything to you. You see, there's a process that people are supposed to adhere to. There's a process that's already in place to ensure that this kind of shit doesn't happen. But obviously, this is atypical. This is the Biden regime attempting to use their power to destroy a president. Now, 2 days later, Stern assured Suh that the Presidential Records Administration representative had not asked to see those records. Now, this section is also redacted in its entirety, but it continues on October 5th of 2021. Stern sent an internal email describing a strategy to time NARA's public communications with Congress in order to prejudice President Trump. Stern's email attached a draft letter to The Hill regarding social media records, which he proposed to run past White House counsel before notifying President Trump. Again, clear coordination and attempts to impugn President Trump in the eyes of America. So then 3 days later, the Biden regime instructed NARA to reject President Trump's assertion of executive privilege and to disclose records to the Select Committee for January 6th. And of course, President Trump did not even know that his executive privilege had been rejected. Nobody else has ever had that done to them. We have another section entitled "The White House Instructs NARA to Contact Prosecutors." The White House instructs NARA to contact prosecutors. Now, this is, again, heavily redacted. They did not want you reading any of this. But it began by stating that the special counsel's office falsely claimed that NARA independently referred the matter to DOJ on February 9th, 2022. They said NARA did it on their own. But the truth is that the Biden White House told them to do it in the first place. Otherwise, NARA wouldn't probably have done it, because this is not the kind of thing that's supposed to happen. Now, according to an FBI report, Stern and a redacted individual also working at NARA consulted with Suh in late January of 2021. And during that consultation, Suh referred Stern and this redacted individual to the Department of Justice and Associate Deputy Attorney General Emily Lode, also Associate Deputy Attorney General David Newman. This is newly redacted. We did not know this before. Now we do. Q Patriot Angel, good to see you. She says, "Zach, as hard as it was turning March to April on my Badlands calendar, made it easier seeing that you were the pinup for my birthday month." Am I on the Badlands calendar? I didn't even know it. I haven't seen it. That's hilarious. Well, I'm glad that you enjoyed it. They're testing their new system of shutting down chat works, then seeing if shutting down Zach totally. Yep, that works too. Well, you can't keep a good man down, and here I am. We are continuing in style. All right. So, on January 24th of 2022, Loeb and Newman at the Department of Justice instructed a redacted individual and Stern to refer the matter to their office of the Inspector General, that would be the NARA OIG, and the office of the Director of National Intelligence, the ODNI, and their IG. So Newman also provided DOJ contacts Jay Bratt, who is chief of the National Security Division, and Corey Amundson, chief of the Public Integrity Section. That redacted individual and Stern had additional conversations with Bratt and Amundson regarding the next steps. So the release of these new documents, although not entirely unredacted. Hey, you guys, do me a favor. Hit that like button on the new stream. Also help me out by sharing the new stream. I'm going to go ahead and do that right now because, let's see. Part 2. New stream. host. Okay. Yeah, help me out, guys. Help me out, please. Help me by sharing this stream. Lisa, could you also share this in Telegram? New stream. Actually, will it give me the option to share it to, yeah, there's no option to share it to Telegram, but hang on. Let me just grab the link real quick. All right. Rumble shut me down. New stream link. There we go. Let me just make sure it's spelled correctly. Half the time I'm not looking at my text as I'm typing, and my fingers are old and arthritic now, and I end up misspelling things. Okay. So again, although these records are not entirely redacted, they are redacted to the degree that we can see that the special counsel was attempting to hide this high-level coordination between the Biden regime, members of the Justice Department, the special counsel's team, and, of course, these various federal agencies that were used to charge President Trump regarding the so-called mishandling of these documents and materials. Now, if we take a look right here, the Biden White House having direct ties to the special counsel's investigation flies directly in the face of everything they have claimed since the very beginning. I'm sure you remember when Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago home was raided, Joe Biden went on camera and said, "Oh, I've only just learned about it from CNN. Oh, I had no idea. Is there an investigation? Corrine, is there an investigation? Nobody told me. I had no idea." Well, Judge Eileen Cannon, I'm pretty sure she saw this stuff. And I think from the very beginning, she has not been buying the bullshit that Jack Smith has been trying to shovel down her throat. So these documents becoming unredacted is very, very sticky situation for the Biden team, for the Biden White House, and of course for the Department of Justice. It makes Jack Smith look like he's trying to hide evidence, which is exactly what he's doing. It was all the Biden White House from the very beginning. They're the ones who put this thing together. They're the ones who made this plan to go after the number one opponent of the current authoritarian regime running the United States government. And it was because they had no other hope of beating him on a level playing field. They have to cheat. They have to play dirty. This is always what this failed and corrupt system does. Now, President Trump a couple of days ago also shared this article coming from Reason.com. Special Counsel Jack Smith lacks standing to defend the D.C. Circuit's ruling on presidential immunity in the Supreme Court. Now, it wasn't Jack Smith who actually came in to argue that today. It was another member of his team. But before we talk about the Supreme Court hearing those arguments, which was just earlier today. Now, also, I saw people suggesting that they had already returned a verdict. They haven't, okay? They listened to arguments from both sides, and now they can return that verdict when they decide. I'm hoping it's sooner rather than later. But if we're going on a timeline that has been preordained, President Trump might want some more opportunities for the American people to see him being unfairly treated by this failed and corrupt establishment. But yesterday was a big day, my friends, a big day for the Democrats and, of course, for the Ku Klux Klan. This was the anniversary of the very first Democratic KKK National Convention in Nashville, Tennessee. You see, after the end of the Civil War and after Republican President Abraham Lincoln had set the slaves free, Democrats began about the creation of something called Jim Crow laws. These were laws that were designed to specifically punish black people and make it difficult for them to integrate into society fully. So for decades, the Democrat major party establishment was openly discriminating against black America. And it was the Ku Klux Klan that was founded as the very first military and terrorist wing of the Democrat Party. because the Ku Klux Klan was essentially an assassination squad, very similar to Antifa today. They murdered hundreds of Republicans and their supporters. That included Republican Representative James M. Hines on October 22nd, 1868. He was from Little Rock, Arkansas. Isn't that interesting? Arkansas death not related to the Clintons, but kind of connected through history. Hines had Representative Arkansas in the U.S. Congress from June 24th of 1868 until October 22nd of the same year when he was murdered. Democrats murdered him. And on September 28th of 1868, a mob of Democrats massacred nearly 300 African-American Republicans in Opelousas, Louisiana. This was a savage, savage killing, and it began when racist Democrats attacked a newspaper editor, a white Republican, and a school teacher who had been supporting ex-slaves. Now, several African-Americans rushed to the assistance of their friend, and in response, the Democrats went on a so-called Negro hunt. That's not my words, that was their words. As a result of the response from the African-American former slaves, they began killing every single black that they saw. And it just so turns out that all of them were Republicans. And this was anyone that they could come across who had skin darker than theirs. You can see here in this historic photograph, Democrats in hoods standing ready to slaughter hundreds of Republicans and blacks across America. They beat and threatened to murder Republicans. They murdered them because they were standing up for black men and former slaves. On April 20th of 1871, the Republicans passed the Anti-Ku Klux Klan Act. It outlawed the Democratic terrorist groups. And we still have had KKK officials serving in U.S. Congress until modern times. You might remember former Senator Robert Byrd. He was a top Democrat. He was a close personal friend of Joseph Robinette Biden and Hillary Clinton. Joe Biden delivered his eulogy, if I'm not mistaken. Now, they like to say that Republicans are the party of racists, that Republicans, what was it Joe Biden said? They want to put y'all back in chains. That was what he said. They want black America to believe that it is Republicans who are trying to keep them down. Well, this is one of the reasons why they have to destroy our history, so that it's easy to lie to us. When they stop teaching children the truth in school, it makes it a lot easier to teach them lies instead. So, the Democrat Party created the Ku Klux Klan so that they could wear hoods and go around murdering blacks and murdering Republicans of all colors. The very first imperial wizard was a former Confederate general, Nathan Bedford Forrest. He said that the KKK's goal was to eradicate the GOP in southern states by terrorizing Republican activists. Never forget, my friends, that is the history of the Democrat Party. That is the history of the people who are trying to destroy Donald Trump right now. Here's an interesting bit that came to Lisa's attention, and she told me about it late last night, or maybe it was early this morning. President Trump has vowed to stop calling Bill Barr lethargic because he's been wholeheartedly endorsed by him. This was such a boss move. He said, wow. Former AG Bill Barr, who let a lot of great people down by not investigating voter fraud in our country, has just endorsed me for president, despite the fact that I called him weak, slow-moving, lethargic, gutless, and lazy. Based on the fact that I greatly appreciate his wholehearted endorsement, I am removing the word lethargic from my statement. Thank you, Bill. MAGA 2024. I just thought that was so incredibly funny. So, President Trump, he is a master troll. He's a master user of social media. This is one of the reasons why they got to stop him from speaking to the American people. Now, and in the lead up to these oral arguments in the Supreme Court today, of course, President Trump took to social media. And this was before his lawyers began to argue that presidents are entitled to absolute immunity. I think that any rational person would understand that. This is for official acts. Now, otherwise, if it were not for that presidential immunity, you would have a situation like we find ourselves in today. The opposition is politically motivated to prosecute former presidents, to prosecute their number one contenders, the people who might take the power away from them that they stole at the ballot box. Former occupants of the Oval Office could become routine targets of lawfare, just as President Trump is right now. It would ensure that presidents would be unable to function as the commander-in-chief if they're worried about criminal charges coming to them at some point later in the future. Now, lower courts have rejected these arguments. They are, and that includes a unanimous three-judge panel on an appeals court in Washington, D.C. But even if the high court resoundingly follows suit, the timing of this decision might be just as important as the eventual outcome. Now, that is because President Trump, as the presumptive Republican nominee, has been pushing to delay those trials until after the November election. And the later the justices issue that decision, the more likely he is to succeed in ensuring that actually happens. Now, you know, the issue of the New York hush money trial or, you know, any of these other ones, the big ones are the classified documents trial and the January 6th trial. But any of these cases ultimately could result in, you know, more pain for President Trump. But as I've said so many times before, he gladly takes these slings and arrows. They're after him. They're after us, but he's standing in the way and he's doing the work that that only a wealthy man like him could do, someone with his level of power and prestige and record, I might add. So the court typically issues its last opinions by the end of June. That's roughly 4 months before the election. So, you know, they could take as long as the end of June if they wanted to. But clearly, this is a case that's in the public interest. If they get it out sooner and they make the choice that President Trump and presidents are actually immune, that the act of impeachment is the manner by which we hold our elected presidents accountable, well, then that just stands on tradition and people are going to say, okay, except for the people who want to destroy President Trump. So shortly before these arguments were set to begin this morning, President Trump has said this. He says many things like this in the lead up. Without presidential immunity, it would be impossible for a president to properly function, putting the United States of America in great and everlasting danger. Now, he also said that without immunity, a president would just be ceremonial, and the opposing party could extort and blackmail the president by saying, if you don't give us everything we want, we will indict you for the things you did in the Oval Office, and even if everything you did was perfectly legal and legitimate, like what President Trump did. So we've got nine justices on the Supreme Court, and this is important to examine this makeup so that we can get an idea of how they might end up ruling. Remember, three of them were nominated by President Trump. You may not have liked all of the decisions they made, but I will say there's a reason President Trump chose them. We've got Amy Coney Barrett. We've got Justice Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh. But the presence of a justice confirmed decades before President Trump's presidency may be the ultimate key to the entire thing, Judge Clarence Thomas. Now, he has generated a lot of controversy because his wife seems to be a truther, if you will. She's pretty based on a lot of this stuff. And she had some conversations on January 6th about making sure President Trump was able to come back. Ginni Thomas, I mean, she was directly urging the reversal of the 2020 presidential election results. Why? Because they were fake. It was phony. It was a fraud. And she attended the rally at the Capitol on January 6th. She didn't enter the Capitol building, but as a result of her presence there, as a result of her particular opinions about things happening in this country, there has been calls for Justice Clarence Thomas to step aside. Now, that is intentional. They need Justice Clarence Thomas to step aside if they have any hope of giving a ruling which results in anything other than ultimate presidential immunity. Now, Justice Thomas, he is also very, very based. He has been put through the ringer on numerous occasions in the past. I remember as a child watching the confirmation hearings of Justice of Justice Thomas. The whole question about Anita Hill, is, did you put pubic hair on my Coke? You know, just so ridiculous, the things that she was saying. But Thomas is not going to step down, and he is going to take part in this this argument and this decision. Now, they have a number of different paths they might take. So they're probably going to meet in private for a short time after they have heard these arguments. That was earlier today. Likely they're going to take a preliminary vote to see what the ultimate outcome would be if they decided right now, just based upon those arguments. Chief Justice John Roberts, he would be a prime candidate who would then take the opinion for the court, and that's assuming he would be in the majority if another justice besides him writes the opinion. It's because Justice Roberts would have been in the minority. They could reject President Trump's immunity claim outright. They could just say, no, you can be prosecuted. We're going to let it go through. And then they would allow Judge Tanya Chutkan to set that trial date, and America would watch it play out. Now, they could also reverse the lower court's decisions. They could declare for the first time that President Trump and any other former presidents cannot be prosecuted for conduct related to official acts during their time in office. If they did this, the decision, again, would stop the prosecution directly in its tracks. But there are other options. That could include ruling that former presidents do retain some immunity for their official actions, but wherever that line is drawn, President Trump's actions fall way beyond it, or that it falls well within it. However, another possibility is the court could send this case back to Chutkan with an assignment to decide whether the actions President Trump is alleged to have taken should stay in power, and that should constitute official acts. Well, it was a bit of a shit show, my friends. The Supreme Court, of course, I was planning on this. You know, they floated things like, you know, ordering assassinations, which I'm certain has happened. I mean, Obama ordered drone strikes on American citizens. That's an assassination. They asked about whether or not a president would have the right to kill a rival. And anybody here believe that that hasn't happened before? I mean, they killed a president back in the 60s. So, during these oral arguments, President Trump's lawyers had, of course, argued that he is immune in entirety from presidential prosecution under federal law because of his immunity as president. And these alleged crimes that he's so-called committed, they should have no basis in fact, and they should all just be thrown out. Why? We've got 234 years of American history. In that time, in the entire history of America existing, no president has ever faced criminal prosecution for official acts. No president, of course, until President Trump, but he is very different than any other president. They hate him a lot more than they've hated anybody else. Why? Because he can't be bought. Because he cares about America. Because he is here working for us and for nobody else. So, do me a favor, please, if you haven't yet, hit the like button over on Rumble. We've got 1,600 people here, roughly a third of the people we had watching the original stream, and only 195 thumbs up. So, do me a favor and hit that like button. Tracy S. says, oh, great, Weinstein conviction gets overturned. Ugh. I plan to talk about that. I'll just say it right now. So, Weinstein's conviction in New York was overturned. He's still serving prison time in California, and he's going to be there for at least another 16 years. Now, I find it pretty unlikely to think that New York is not going to retry him, just considering the mountain of evidence that's there. But isn't that funny that Harvey Weinstein has his conviction overturned when he's just such a despicable human being? Leanne 63, glad to have you back. Zach, thank you so much, Leanne. I appreciate you being here. Thank you, thank you, thank you. WS84 says SCOTUS is compromised. Do you think all of SCOTUS is compromised? You know, the thing about SCOTUS, the fact there are, you know, there's nine of them, and then, you know, they're all appointed by different presidents. I certainly think some of them are compromised. I tend to think John Roberts is compromised. But I do believe that they're going to return the decision that presidents have immunity as long as it's within the scope of their duties as president. Now, a couple of things from today's arguments. John Sauer, who is a Missouri-based attorney working for President Trump, he gave the opening statement on Thursday, and he argued that the indictments brought by Jack Smith are using vague statutes to criminalize core authority of the president. Now, I believe this is the full opening statement.
Oregon case 1039, Trump versus United States. Mr. Sauer?
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court. Without presidential immunity from criminal prosecution, there can be no presidency as we know it.
So Kitsko says, Roberts has been to Epstein Island. There is no proof that Roberts had actually gone to Epstein Island. And I'm not certain that there's proof that he had flown on the Lolita Express, because there is a John Roberts, but there's no confirmation that it's this John Roberts. And John Roberts is kind of a common name. I've talked about this before, but I don't think that we can responsibly say that we know Justice John Roberts has gone to the island. But it's possible.
134 years of American history, no president was ever prosecuted for his official acts. The framers of our Constitution viewed an energetic executive as essential to securing liberty. If a president can be charged, put on trial, and imprisoned for his most controversial decisions as soon as he leaves office, that looming threat will distort the president's decision-making precisely when bold and fearless action is most needed. Every current president will face de facto blackmail and extortion by his political rivals while he is still in office. The implications of the court's decision here extend far beyond the facts of this case. Could President George W. Bush have been sent to prison for obstructing an official proceeding or allegedly lying to Congress to induce war in Iraq? Could President Obama be charged with murder for killing U.S. citizens abroad by drone strike?
Good question.
Could President Biden someday be charged with unlawfully inducing immigrants to enter the country illegally for him?
Yeah, exactly, Debbie. There's a John Roberts at Fox News. I honestly think it would be more likely that it would be that John Roberts. This I will tell you. John Roberts and his wife illegally adopted under the Obama administration. And I think that it's more likely that that's the blackmail that they have on this John Roberts. More likely than he went to Epstein Island. But again, it's possible.
Border policies. The answer to all these questions is no. Prosecuting the president for his official acts is an innovation with no foothold in history or tradition and incompatible with our constitutional structure. The original meaning of the executive vesting clause, the framer's understanding and intent, an unbroken historical tradition spanning 200 years, and policy considerations rooted in the separation of powers all counsel against it. I welcome the court's questions.
So to Trump's lawyer's point here, the fact that they are trying to convict President Trump of looking into whether or not the election was stolen is so laughable on its face. If he didn't try to look into whether or not the election was stolen, he would have been derelict in his duties. Now, George W. Bush lied to the American people, fact right there, on numerous occasions, so many occasions. Obama ordered the assassination of American citizens with drone strikes. Why are they not in the same type of legal jeopardy? They would be if the Supreme Court returns anything other than ultimate immunity for presidents, then they are all subject to the exact same. And when Donald Trump returns to the White House, they better be careful. Now, they're counting on the fact that they're going to be able to stop him, but they won't. They will be unsuccessful at the end of the day. Now, of course, the liberal judges, they were the ones who were buying into the argument that the Biden regime is trying to sell. They're the ones who were floating those absurd hypotheticals about coups and assassinations. But the truth is, they've already been implemented by presidents on numerous occasions. Say Obama and the Maidan Revolution. Do you think Obama didn't have some coordination with Victoria Nuland, knowing that his number two guy was running backroom deals through Ukraine, knowing that his CIA was set up and still operating, Operation Gladio so many years, the evolution of Gladio? Let's take a listen to Judge Elena Kagan asking questions of Trump's attorney about things like that, coups, and whether or not it's an official act, which, hashtag spoiler alert, it is.
Justice Kagan?
Can I continue on in Justice Barrett's vein a little bit and ask you about some of the allegations of the indictment and whether they're official acts or not in your view? So the defendant signed a verification affirming false election fraud allegations made on his behalf and a lawsuit filed in his name against the Georgia governor.
I don't think we've disputed that that's official. I'm sorry, that is unofficial.
That's unofficial. Same for the defendant called the chairwoman of the Republican National Committee, asked her to gather electors in targeted states, falsely represented to her that such electors' votes would be used only if ongoing litigation in one of the states changed the results in the defendant's favor.
We have taken the position that that is official.
That's official?
Yes.
Why would that be official?
Because the organization of alternate slates of electors is based on, for example, the historical example of President Grant is something that was done pursuant to and ancillary and preparatory to the exercise of the core recommendation clause power.
It is absolutely official to put together slates of alternate electors. If the results of the election change, if there is some malfeasance that's found, then you have to be ready immediately to get them in there, to cast their votes, to secure those electoral college votes for the true and factual winner. Every single election, Democrat or Republican, no matter who it is, they all have alternate electors. Arizona. Wow. I was waiting for this one. Frankly, I thought, well, maybe they're not going to charge him in Arizona, but we will talk about that. They have charged those so-called fake electors in the state of Arizona in the same way they did in Michigan. But to the point that just the attorney for President Trump is making here, these are official acts and they are not illegal. On their face, they are not illegal. Again, we have historical precedents here in the United States of America. Sotomayor then asks John Sauer if Trump would be immune from prosecution if he ordered the military to assassinate his political rival. That would never happen, but it might happen if you're a Democrat. It might happen if you're working for the CIA. It might happen if you are the deep state. Does anybody here have any doubt that President Trump's assassination might have been ordered at one time or another and they were just unsuccessful? Because he's got men and women who care about him, that he's got men and women who take their oath to the Constitution seriously. Does anybody here honestly believe that they haven't tried to kill President Trump in the past and they've just been unsuccessful? I think that you would be a fool to think that they haven't already attempted to do that. If the president decides that his rival is a corrupt person and he orders the military or orders someone to assassinate him, is that within his official acts for which he can get immunity? And he says, well, it would depend on the hypothetical, what we can see that could be, well, an official act. Now, she actually defended Obama's drone strikes on American civilians while at the same time she's attacking President Trump. He could. And why? Because he's doing it for personal reasons. He's not doing it like President Obama did, is alleged to have done, to protect the country from a terrorist. What about protecting the country from a stolen freaking election? He's doing it for personal gain. No, this is what they don't understand. I don't truly know whether or not these people can see it. President Trump is not acting on behalf of his own personal interests. That's the LARP. That's what they're faking. That's the narrative that they're putting out there. But every single thing President Trump has done has been for the benefit of the country. Just look at what happened. As soon as President Trump came into office, every single decision he made furthered the interest of America and her people. Things got better. whereas before they had only gotten worse. It was a slow and steady degradation of our spirit, of our mental health, of our economic health, of our security. Every other president just chipping away at everything that was good about this country. And President Trump came back in here and he built us up. He made something good. He built up a better world out of shit that these people had essentially given us. Destroying America one brick at a time. One turd after turd after turd. Until finally, people like me and maybe even people like you thought there was no hope that America was lost. Why not vote for Donald Trump? Why not? He's not a politician. Certainly, he's not Hillary Clinton. Certainly, he doesn't have a body count like the Clintons do. Hundreds of people that just mysteriously go dead in very odd ways. And President Trump did exactly what I thought he was going to do. He ran this country like a business, and it benefited all of us. He didn't put those electors together for his own benefit. He didn't order the drone strike that killed Soleimani because it was his own benefit. He didn't do anything for his own benefit. He lost money. He's the only person to leave office with less money than what he came in with. Everybody else, every other stinking deep state politician waltzes into Washington, D.C., and they get rich. They get rich. Donald Trump walked into Washington, D.C., and he lost. America gained, but he lost. She continues, and isn't that the nature of the allegations here, that he's not doing them, doing these acts in furtherance of an official responsibility? He's doing it for personal gain. Well, Sauer responds, I agree with that characterization of the indictment, and that confirms immunity because the characterization is that there's a series of official acts that were done for an honorable purpose. And then Sotomayor argues and interrupts him.
Take a listen. Now, I think, and your answer below, I'm going to give you a chance to say if you stay by it, if the president decides that his rival is a corrupt person and he orders the military or orders someone to assassinate him, is that within his official acts that for which he can get immunity?
It would depend on the hypothetical, but we can see that could well be an official act.
It could, and why? Because he's doing it for personal reasons. He's not doing it at, like President Obama is alleged to have done it, to protect the country from a terrorist. He's doing it for personal gain. And isn't that the nature?
I hope Obama appreciates that reach around from Justice Sotomayor. She's really taking care of him with that. Very, very generous.
Of the allegations here, that he's not doing them, doing these acts in furtherance of an official responsibility. He's doing it for personal gain.
I agree with that characterization of the indictment, and that confirms immunity, because the characterization is that there's a series of official acts that were done for an unlawful
purpose. No, because immunity says even if you did it for personal gain, we won't hold you responsible. How could that be?
That's an extremely strong doctrine in this court's case law in cases like Fitzgerald.
Well, we go back to Justice Thomas's question, which was, where does that come from? There are amici here who tell us that the founders actually talked about whether to grant immunity to the president. And in fact, they had state constitutions that granted some criminal immunity to governors. And yet, they didn't take it up. Instead, they pass an impeachment clause that basically says you can't remove the president from office except by a trial in the Senate, but you can impeach him after. So, or you can impose criminal liability. We would be creating a situation in which we would be saying, this is what you're asking us to say, which is that a president is entitled not to make a mistake, but more than that, a president is entitled for total
personal gain to use the trappings of his office. That's what you're trying to get us to hold, without facing criminal liability.
Your Honor, I would say three things in response to that. First, the doctrine that immunity does not turn on the allegedly improper motivation or purpose is something that this Court has reaffirmed in at least 9 or 10
That's cases. Absolute immunity, but qualified immunity does say that whatever act you take has to be within what a reasonable person would do. I'm having a hard time thinking that creating false documents, that submitting false documents, that ordering the assassination of a rival, that accepting a bribe, and countless other laws that could be broken for personal gain, that anyone would say that it would be reasonable for a president.
So everything she's describing is stuff that administrations of the past have actually done. Now, a 3-judge panel for the Circuit Court of Appeals had also previously asked John Sauer if President Trump would be immune if he had ordered assassinations. And, of course, President Trump, you know, would definitely be immune if he ordered assassinations. Presidents have done that before. That is nothing new. Now, Justice Alito, of course, you know, he is also one of the based justices, and he also heard the same arguments that Judge Sauer had presented. Now, let's go ahead and take a look at what he said. Samuel Alito was really not having it when it came to DOJ prosecutor Michael Dreeben. He said, if the president gets advice from the attorney general that something is lawful, is that an absolute defense? He says, yes, I think it is. But won't that give presidents incentive to be sure to pick an attorney general who will reliably tell the president that it is lawful to do whatever the president wants to do if there's any possible argument in favor of it? Well, I think the constitutional structure protects against that risk. The president nominates the attorney general and the Senate provides advice and consent. It also dovetails into other questions that were asked later. Let's go ahead and take a listen.
I won't do that. Let me just touch briefly on a couple of other things. One is the relevance of advice of counsel, and I wasn't clear what your answer is. So if the president gets advice from the attorney general that something is lawful, is that an absolute defense?
If you'll remember, George W. Bush's attorney general advised him that it was legal to torture people with enhanced interrogation techniques, and he just wrote it off, and they said, well, the attorney general said it was totally cool, so we went ahead and did it. If you'll go back to President Trump's term in office, they were so worried that that Barr was just going to co-sign everything that he did. Look what he didn't do. He obviously did not give Trump any carte blanche to do anything that he needed. President Trump did everything by the book.
I think that it is under the principle of entrapment by estoppel. This is a due process doctrine that we referred to in our brief, our reply brief in Garland versus Cargill this term at page 19, where we cited authority of this court that if a authorized government representative tells you that what you are about to do is lawful, it would be a root violation of due process to prosecute you for that.
Won't that give presidents an incentive to be sure to pick an attorney general who will reliably tell the president that it is lawful to do whatever the president wants to do if there's any possibly conceivable argument in favor of it?
So I think the constitutional structure protects against that risk. The president nominates the attorney general and the Senate provides advice and consent. And these are the sort of structural checks that have operated for 200 years to prevent the kind of abuses that my friend fears going forward as a result of this once-in-history prosecution.
So, you know what else has stood for hundreds of years? The idea that presidents have immunity so that they can do what they need to do. Now, Alito also asked about FDR's decision to put Japanese Americans in internment camps during World War II. I'm sure all of you are aware of this, but for a long time, they didn't bother to teach this in schools. I mean, they didn't really want people to know that Japanese Americans had been thrown into concentration camps here in the United States of America. He said, what about FDR's decision to intern Japanese Americans during World War II? Couldn't that have been charged? Well, today, yes. Obviously, they didn't do it because FDR was the president of the United States of America, and he was trying to keep the country safe, and it was a very unique time. Now, it's interesting they're putting so much attention on this idea of these alternate electors, because Arizona, following suit like just about everybody else, every single contested swing state, has basically taken up to bring charges against Donald Trump. The only one they're missing now, I guess, would be Wisconsin and Pennsylvania. So I'm fully expecting those to have charges brought before too long as well. So with these alternate electors, these were GOP state legislators as well, and former GOP chairman Kelly Ward and others. They've all been indicted by a state grand jury in Arizona on Wednesday. We have a full list of them. The Democrat attorney general, whose name is Chris Mays, announced these charges earlier today. She defended this witch hunt going after these people, and of course, the curious timing of the indictment. It's only months away from the 2024 election. Why didn't they bring charges sooner if they thought that they were lawfully able to do so? But these charges are simply a warning shot to anybody who may want to challenge the 2024 election. They have essentially criminalized the act of questioning your government. We conducted a thorough and professional investigation over the past 13 months into the fake elector scheme in our state. Again, it's not fake. Every single political party does this because you just don't know what's going to happen. I understand for some of you, today didn't come fast enough. And I know I'll be criticized by others for conducting this investigation at all. But I've stated before and will say it here again today, I will not allow American democracy to be undermined. The irony. I will not allow American democracy to be undermined. Miss Mays, what else are you doing but undermining the fabric of our nation? Hundreds of years of precedent that have been set time and time again by candidate after candidate, by president after president. Everyone does exactly what they have charged Donald Trump and the people who stood with him were doing. She admitted last year she was investigating the 2020 alternate electors, and now Mays' office knows these electors were going to invoke their Fifth Amendment rights, but she made them appear in front of a grand jury regardless. This is pretty unusual, kind of risky for her, but the Fifth Amendment allows a person to exercise their right to remain silent, to protect themselves against self-incrimination. It's something that you can do anytime you end up in court. Now, it doesn't mean you've done anything wrong. It just means that you're not going to give the prosecution anything they can use to twist against you, because frankly, that's what they do time and time again. Democrat prosecutors requesting and requiring pro-Trump alternate electors to plead the Fifth before a grand jury could, of course, unnecessarily prejudice them in the eyes of those grand jurors. Again, the Fifth Amendment is not an admission of guilt. However, grand jurors pretty much can indict a hand sandwich. So that might make them assume that as a result of pleading the Fifth, these alternate electors are guilty and therefore have something to hide. So they indicted 11 Trump alternate electors, state legislators, GOP activists, and others. Also, it appears Mark Meadows and maybe Rudy Giuliani or Michael Roman are also indicted, but their names are redacted. President Trump actually was revealed as an unindicted co-conspirator. Unindicted co-conspirator number one. What that means is that they believe this person helped out the conspiracy, but they haven't chosen to indict them yet. That means that President Trump might still well be indicted in the state of Arizona. Why is he an unindicted co-conspirator? Well, he made a phone call about ballot counting to former Governor Doug Ducey. Now, also among those charged is Kelly Ward. She was chair of the Arizona GOP during that 2020 election and, of course, in the immediate aftermath. On January 6th of 2021, Kelly Ward tweeted out, after the events of January 6th, Congress is adjourned. send the elector choice back to the legislatures. This was a legal and lawful thing that they could have done. But Ward is considered a propagator of false claims that Arizona's election was rigged. It was. The election was rigged. The election was rigged. Lock me up. It's my First Amendment right to tell you exactly what I believe. And I believe with every fiber of my being that the election in Arizona was rigged, just like it was rigged in Pennsylvania, just like it was rigged in Georgia, just like it was rigged in Wisconsin, just like it was rigged in Michigan, just like it was rigged in Nevada. It goes on and on and on. Now, the Democrats cast these alternate electors as dueling electors, and the Republicans cast these alternate electors as so-called fake electors. And the indictments coming down from this crooked Democrat attorney general just go to show once more that this is a vast conspiracy of sorts designed to take Donald Trump out of the running for president. Democrat prosecutors in other states are also calling these alternate electors fake electors. Back in July, Democrat Attorney General for the state of Michigan, Dana Nessel, charged 16 of these alternate electors. And of course, Fulton County District Attorney charged 3 of President Trump's alternate electors in Georgia as part of her RICO case. Now, here is the full list of people who have been indicted in Arizona. It includes former guests of my channel. We had Trump White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows. He is indicted again. Former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani. RNC Attorney Christina Bob, who I had on the show just a couple of months ago. John Eastman, who is perhaps losing his law license soon. Trump Campaign Advisor Boris Epstein. And another 18 individuals. President Trump, of course, as the unindicted co-conspirator number one, what they are charging them with is 9 counts of conspiracy, fraudulent schemes and artifices, fraudulent schemes and practices, and forgery. Defendants and unindicted co-conspirators schemed to prevent the lawful transition of the presidency to keep unindicted co-conspirator one in office against the will of Arizona voters. And the indictment further states, defendants deceived the citizens of Arizona by falsely claiming that those votes were contingent only on a legal challenge that would change the outcome of the election. In reality, defendants intended that their false votes for Trump-Pence would encourage Pence to reject the Biden-Harris votes on January 6th, 2021, regardless of the outcome of the legal challenge. When combined with the 6 other states where Republican electors were sent in uncertified votes for Trump Pence, defendants wanted Pence to either declare unindicted co-conspirator the winner of the election, delay the proceeding, and have individual state legislators determine their own electors, as is their right, their plenary power, or have Congress resolve any unclaimed uncertainty and take a look at the validity of election results in Arizona and 6 other states in President Trump's favor. And they could have, and they should have, and it should have been done. However, if it had been done, we wouldn't find ourselves here right now with the vast majority of America completely awake and aware of what the deep state's plan is at the end of the day. It is perfectly legal conduct, and as I have stated before, there is legal precedent, hundreds of years of legal precedent. Take a look at this. 1960, December. It was clear Kennedy had won. Only Hawaii's result remained in doubt. Nixon had prevailed by just 140 votes, according to the initial results, which had already been certified by the governor. So a recount was underway on December 19, 1960, when presidential electors across the nation were required to meet by law and cast their ballots. Now, the Hawaii electors for Nixon met and cast their 3 votes in an official ceremony. However, nearby, Kennedy's 3 elector nominees gathered and signed their own certificates, and they delivered them to Washington as though Kennedy had won the state. The exact same thing may have happened here in 2020. However, the deep state apparatus was simply just that much more attuned to stopping a lawful challenge to the election or even anybody asking questions about it. And now they have come full circle and they have charged people trying to claim that they committed some overt act of illegal status. Now, these are those full list of defendants. Kathy Burden, 70, of Snover. William Hank Choate, 72, of Cement City. Again, take a look. These are mostly elderly people. Amy Facinello, 55, of Grand Blanc. Clifford Frost, 75, of Warren. Oh, I'm sorry. This is from Michigan, rather. Stanley Grott of Shelby Township, 71. John Haggard, 82, of Charlevoix. Marianne Henry, 65, of Brighton. Timothy King, 56, of Ypsilanti. Michelle Lundgren, 73, of Detroit. Michon Maddock, 55, of Milford. James Renner, 76, of Lansing. Myra Rodriguez, 64, of Grosse Pointe Farms. Rose Rook, 81, of Pawpaw. Marion Sheridan, 69, of West Bloomfield. Ken Thompson, 68, of Orleans. And Ken Vanderwood, 69, of Wyoming. And they have all been charged with a number of felonies. We've looked over them. Now, President Trump is also an unindicted co-conspirator in Michigan. Rudy Giuliani is also an unindicted co-conspirator in this case in Michigan. We have one count of conspiracy to commit forgery. That's a 14-year felony. Two counts of forgery. That's another 14-year felony. One count of conspiracy to commit uttering and publishing. Another 14-year felony. One count of uttering and publishing. Another 14-year felony. One count of conspiracy to commit election law forgery. That's a 5-year felony. And two counts of election law forgery. Also 5-year felonies. Charges against one of the 16 defendants were dropped in exchange for cooperating with prosecutors. Now, this is just a gross miscarriage of justice under the law, but you should not be surprised. This is exactly what we've been waiting for, and I say it again. I am fully expecting charges to be filed in any other state that was contested, any other state where it was likely that fraudulent ballots were cast and the election was stolen for Joseph Robinette Biden. My friends, we're going to call it a day. We're going to end it there. My throat is getting a little froggy. I want to thank all of you for being here. Thank you for sticking around. And if you were kicked off the original stream and came back on the new stream, thank you very much. JoJo Guns, there are two parts, and I don't even know that the first part works because Rumble is shite today. However, the entire stream is available over at Pilled.net. Let me say thank you on Pilled to Sean Joe for the cookie, Judy the Ladybug for the cookie. Thank you again to Sean Joe for another cookie. Thank you to FilterDog1 for the shades. Says, glad you're back. I'm glad to be back too. Sean Joe, thank you for the cookie. And PQuest, thank you for the cookie as well. Yes, long stream, babe, long stream. But there's even more that I wanted to go over, but I can't. I got to bow out. I got to tap out. And here we go. So thank you to the people watching over on Getter. Thank you to the people watching over on Twitter, even though it just ended on Twitter. And if you're watching over on Locals, which you may be or you may not be, looks like maybe the full stream worked over there as well. So what I'll probably do is take the entire uninterrupted stream and upload it on Rumble. It may take a while for it to work, but don't forget, I'm going to be back tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern for a special episode of Red Pill News Live. My good friend Jake Lang is going to be joining me at the beginning. He just got out of 20 days in solitary confinement, mental and physical torture, no conversation, no communication with any people, no access to his phone or any ability to contact his family. Jake Lang, all he's doing is attempting to use his First Amendment rights and stand up for the January 6th defendants who have been unjustly and unconstitutionally imprisoned for very, very long times. So, thank you for being here. Good luck and God bless. I'll see you tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern and then again tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern. Peace.